on behavior. Now, the thing that he's referring to that he said had to happen, was the popularity of President Ronald Reagan, his leadership, and the losses that we have suffered. So, in terms of social cutbacks, social program cutbacks, etc. He said that something had to happen to make black Americans question their own behavior. You know, if a unruly, disrespectful child gets in enough trouble, his conscience will come back.
Yes, sir.
You know, I'm not agreeing with the writer, and I don't think he really means what appears on the surface. I don't think he's approving what's happening, but he's saying, well, let's live with it. Let's face it. These are the circumstances that have appeared. We couldn't prevent them. They're here now on us. So let's face it. And let's see, can we derive some benefit? Let's see, can we get something positive out of it? Let's see, can we get a positive out of a negative? Now this Republican prominence here is a negative for the African-American people. But let's see, can we get a positive out of it? Now, if it stirs us to go and search our souls, to examine ourselves, to look back in our own behavior, and see if we can find some fault on our part, and if the revelation proves beneficial, it'll be good. So I believe that's what he's saying. And my God, do I agree with him? I didn't want to see nothing like that happen. I didn't want to see our people set back socially. But when you really look at what the Democrats were allowing, as a growing situation in the life of the African-American and the poor, then I believe you will agree with me that that particular trend was not at all social progress. Monetary benefits that bring cash in my hand to buy a new table or to pay the rent, and medical expenses, et cetera, et cetera, that alone does not account or does not amount to social progress. But if along with that is a progress in my social vision, social perception, and social responsibility, where that I use those means to improve my social status, improve the life of the family and the dignity of the family, then that's social progress. If it contributes to an increase in my social sensitivities, that's social progress. But if it gives me to a permissive life where I just take the money and go spend it, have a good time, or spend it for material things and forget the social unity, forget the social wholeness of life, forget my obligation to my children, forget my obligation to my neighbors, and start living and living carefree on the working citizens' money, That ain't social progress. That ain't social progress. So we must accept that the Democrats allowed a situation to grow on the poor, on the blacks and the poor of this country, that does not represent social progress. And I believe it was the will of God that that wasted money be stopped. Money for social programs should not be a cause for social ignorance, social irresponsibility on the part of the recipients. And I believe God is against that. See, when God is against something, you can't change it, baby. You can bring out 90% support for your candidate, and God will make your 90% of no effect. It's time to do a little soul searching. Time to examine self. Time to get back to the excellence that God created us with. Time to go back and embrace the slave on the plantation and say, I'm freer than you, but you are more a man than I am. Something you had, I've lost. This writer says something had to happen to cause black Americans to question their own behavior. Oh, the time is overdue for us to question our own behavior. Yes, sir. Don't you know we have become a traitor to our cause as a people? Many of us don't like to hear anything discrediting.
Yes, sir.
We have become so attached, so devoted to a narcissistic relationship with ourselves. Oh, I'm beautiful. I'm pretty. I'm it. You know, we're just looking in the water and seeing ourselves. Ooh, baby. Ooh. And if anybody come up and say, hey, what's wrong with you, fella? Are you sick? Aren't you sharing this orgasm? Ooh, look at me. And all you have to do is tap them lightly, and the cosmetic mass falls all apart. And there's a poor, raggedy slave worse than he ever been up under all that cosmetic. We want to get out of this.
Yes, sir.
Get out of this situation. Don't you know it's really painful to a people to have so much that accounts for nothing? That's a pain. See, a slave, the situation back there 20, 30, 40, 100 years ago, the situation back there was much easier to bear than the present situation. Here I am, I got everything, every bill that imaginable have been legislated for my freedom and dignity.
Yes, sir.
Men have been straining their minds to come up with another legislation. Say, hey, can we legislate toll operation rights of freedom of tolls for the blacks? Just anything, you know. Say, can't we legislate some more freedom for the blacks? All of this legislation for us. Got all that. Whole country singing. songs of our freedom. Love everybody. Yeah. South was really against us, but Dr. King and his powerful soul and spirit opened up the South with the help of blacks and whites. Opened up the South. And now you go to South, sometimes I feel like I'm more welcome in some southern places than I am in the North. I went to Atlanta, I got so scared, I said, hey, make a reservation. I think I better get right back out here tonight. These white women are too pretty and they're tempting me. Yeah, I get off the plane, walk in the airport, and this fine thing, she was so friendly, so warm, and so welcoming. She just turned black. And after a while, she started looking like Shirley. I said, oh, hell. All of that. Soul power and spirit and singing freedom and legislating have done all that. And here I'm in my house, and I'm trying to get around. I can't even get around in my old house. I go to step, and I step over a $75 toy belonging to one of the children. I want to look at television. I look for a seat, but a whole lot of expensive coats and things all on the couch and all. I can't sit down nowhere. I said, well, I can't get to this television. I guess I'll go upstairs and see, can I look at the one upstairs? I go upstairs to look at the one upstairs, and there are two children with two telephones sitting on the bed and blocking the way of the television. I said, well, I guess I'll go down the basement and just have some peace. I go down the basement, and there's a whole store of stuff. All in the basement. I can't find nowhere. I come in the house, I hang up my coat, I open the closet, and I can't know where to hang it. Closet already completely occupied. It ain't no gas in the house. So I say, well, I'll take my coat upstairs and hang it in my closet. I go up there in my closet, and Shirley's clothes are from wall to wall. And I say to myself, hey, I'm gonna have to burn down the house. This is my oppressor. I'm gonna have to burn down the house. I say, but before I burn down the house, I'm gonna inquire to see how the other neighbors are living. And I go to their house, and they say, hey, may I take your coat? And I say, yes. And they say, you don't mind if I lay it here, do you? The closet, they can't even close the door on the closet. I say, my oh my, this is just the state of poor black America. Come up with my car, I want to park. Nigga got a garage for two cars. But his children got my front block with their cars. Poor old boy. Don't you know that's painful? That's painful. And then here comes a 5-day notice to those rich citizens. 5-day notice. And you know anything, they ain't got no phones. Phone caught off. They barbecuing on the porch. Gas cut off. You know, I used to tell you all that we ought to go back and say, look, this situation is terrible. We are living too far above our means. Say, let's go back. Let's go back. Let's do what some Quakers did, some Amish did. Let's go back. Let's get some candles and use candles for light. Don't you know some of these niggas using candles for lights now because Edison done cut it off? It's a mess. That's painful. It's painful to have all this freedom and all of this material affluence in our lives, but no dignity.
Yes, sir.
No establishment. We have it, but no establishment. What can we get off all the clothes in the house if we sold them? All the appliances in the house if we sold them? What can we get off that stuff? Not much. So when the man demands his money, when he says, I have to collect now, we go to jail, many of us. Or we put out in the streets. We have nothing. Put out of our home, put out of our apartment, home taken for taxes. Have nothing. Furniture repossessed. Nothing. They're stripped. That's painful. That's painful. We have allowed the false life of material plenty to capture our souls, kill our spirit, corrupt our morality, kill our sense of right and wrong, deprive us of collective direction. Collective direction. We used to have a spirit for collective direction. The church used to preach it. The politician used to represent it. The little man in the street used to identify with it. Collective direction. Collective purpose. Collective dignity. Collective role on this earth. We used to have that, but we left it behind us. The spoiled way of life robbed us of it. We have to come back to spiritual integrity. Then there's another stage of integrity for the human being. Contextual integrity. You don't just live by yourself or within yourself. You have to live with other people. You have to be responsible for your behavior, responsible for what you do in the society and environment of other people. Many of us have no responsibility, no discipline. We don't even exercise discipline in the small environment of our apartment. Care nothing about the person sharing that apartment with us. Living as though no one is sharing the space with us. One person cares something about himself. He likes to be clean. He likes neatness. He likes order. You living with him and you just pile nothing but confusion and filth all up in his environment. And he has to live there with you. It's painful. Painful. We have to become responsible again. We have to attach ourselves to purpose bigger than ourselves. We have to attach ourselves to values bigger than material values. We have to come back to the human life and the human context.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Then you will see a people who will make use of the opportunities that are here in America and will cooperate humanly with each other for the excellence and the progress of the whole.
Yes, sir.
That's the day we pray for. That's the day we work for. That's the purpose for which we are created and existing here on this earth. Now, many nations will come that far. They will work openly and privately to promote that healthy state of man and society, where man and society will at least have spiritual integrity and contextual integrity. All people can't be depended on to support that, but they will always condition and preserve a select few to look out after the needs of the many. We have to take that concern upon ourselves and exercise it for the good of the black people, the African Americans in this country. Yes, enforce it. Be willing to die for it. Not everybody, a select few. Because everybody just ain't ready. There is a higher stage, and God required that of man, and he fulfilled it in Muhammad, and Jesus was a sign. The last stage for the integrity of man's spirit is to come into procedural integrity, where man will advance himself and will use strategy to advance his life and to conquer forces in his environment that are against his life, but will be upright and will not do wrong in advancing himself. I don't know a nation on this planet that has that procedural integrity that was demonstrated in the life of Muhammad, and that I pray God will let me live to demonstrate for this community. Peace be unto you. As-salamu alaykum. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. There's nothing more that anyone needs to say. We would ask you to please hold your seats while the Imam leads the rostrum, and we thank Almighty God Allah for such man with such matches. Again, we ask that everyone hold your seats.